Do I have Dan Corner on the telephone?
Yes, sir, you do. I'm here.
Dan, hey, I gave several disclaimers while I was waiting for you. I explained to the audience that I'm interested in what you have to say. I want to let you recommend your book. I want to let you give it a commercial. I want to let you promote what you've got to say. But I do not hold myself out as a preacher or as an evangelist or as the host of a religious talk show. I do a show that is mainly a secular political and public policy call-in talk show. But I'm interested in what you've got to say. I'm interested in the topic. But I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to sit back and give you an easy time and just try to understand what you've got to say. So I hope you understand that.
Yes, sir, I do. And I thank you very much for the opportunity. Can I begin now?
Yes, sir. Jump right in. Tell us what's going on here.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Well, we're living in a day where there's rampant deception. Jesus said this would occur in Matthew chapter 24, and that's exactly what's happened. There are multitudes of people that are seeking out teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and in particularly on the top of the list would be these people called eternal security teachers, or once saved, always saved teachers. Sometimes they go by the term Calvinist or some other term, but nonetheless, these people declare a message that they call under grace, under the gospel, sometimes under the blood of Christ, in which they say after a person gets redeemed, after they get regenerated by the blood of Jesus, then there's nothing, including any kind of sin that they could ever commit, that would block and interfere with their entrance into God's kingdom. That is flatly, positively not the message of the Bible, and certainly the kind of message the devil, the tempter, would want us to believe.
Now, isn't this also an essential core belief, at least within some groups of my friends who are called Baptists?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Many Baptists believe this way, as well as Presbyterians and other ones. But nonetheless, even though they claim to be fundamentalists, they claim to go by the Bible, they really don't, even though they can quote Scripture. We need to know that even the devil can quote Scripture. Now, that's not to say because somebody's quoting the Scripture that they're necessarily wrong. We have to examine the context and see exactly what they're saying. But the Bible teaches that a righteous person can die spiritually. That's all through the Bible. We have numerous examples, and I'd like to give one particular passage from the tail end of James. This is James chapter 5, 19 and 20. First, let me read it, and then I'll comment on this. This is what the Bible says. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, what James wrote here is very important and key to this controversy of the believer's security. In this particular passage, James 5, 19 and 20, at first we see a person had salvation, and that person is called a non-sinner here in so many words, when he was in the truth. But then if that person turns away, something else is what we read. He doesn't remain with salvation. Instead, we find out that he needs to be turned back to where he was before he departed, because his soul is now in danger of eternal death in hell. So consequently, James clearly did not teach, as the eternal security teachers are doing, that once you're saved, you're always saved. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you commit, what kind of activity you get involved in, what you might believe. This is absolutely not true. And what really irritates me, Andy, sometimes these same teachers will give the impression of declaring something holy. They like people to think that's what they're declaring. Now, you should not sin, naughty, naughty, and then they'll turn right around in another breath and say that you really can't obey. Everybody sins all the time. Paul sinned all the time. And you see,
I want the audience to understand that if you want to get into this conversation, you better call right now, because once the guest has gone in about another 15, 20 minutes, we're going to press on to other topics. Now, is eternal security the thing that you say is not true and that you ridicule and that you make fun of? Isn't eternal security just a synonym for grace?
No, it is not. They like to link it to grace, but absolutely positively it's nothing more than a counterfeit. Jude verses 3 and 4 tells us that people have changed grace into a license for immorality, and Christians are commanded to contend against this counterfeit, deadly, damnable heresy.
I gotta tell you, I would like to sign up for this convenient kind of religion where I just make the right decision at the right moment, and I'm home free, and I don't need to worry, and I can go rob a bank, or I can do bad things, and I still get to go to heaven.
That's ludicrous, isn't it? It's very strange and bizarre. And by the way, let me mention our book. It's The Believer's Conditional Security. It's 801 pages. If anyone would like to order it, you can call and order our book. 800 pages, The Believer's Conditional Security. But Andy, let me tell you this.
The website is www.evangelicaloutreach.org. And please bear with me. I want to interrupt you, and let's take a call from Colby. Colby, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today, brother?
We're fine.
I just want to commend you, my friends, on your stand and your doctrine and your beliefs, because nowadays we have so many people, you know, that's going tossing to and fro with this wind and doctrine. I just commend you, and I thank you, and I'm praying with you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the very kind call. Now, where were you? Go right ahead.
Okay, I would like to thank Colby as well and say this, that very clearly a scripture that drives all this home in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus told the disciples, those who had already had salvation, he told them that he that endures to the end will be saved. So that means if we don't endure to the end, we won't be saved. That is, we won't enter God's kingdom. Another very clear scripture, Hebrews 3:14 says, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. These false teachers, these savage wolves in sheep's clothing, they're trying to convince us we don't have to hold firm to the end, that God's holding us and blah, blah, blah. They come up with all this. But
interesting, and it's fun, but wait, hey, I want to take another call here from Mr. Number 448. Go ahead, Mr. Number 448.
So I have a question for your guest. Grace, that is unmerited love. Sin, that is sins of different degrees, etc. You are not sinless. I am not sinless. King David was not sinless. The thief on the cross was not sinless. You will never be sinless. And the only way you will ever get into heaven is by unmerited love, which is the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the clergy, Protestants, Catholics, clergymen. It's unbelievable the amount of sin. And I'm quite suspect when you talk in the tone you talk.
Okay, well, let me respond then, all right? Okay, first of all, you define grace in a way that's contrary to how Paul, the grace teacher, defined it. Concisely, he said in Titus 2:12, referring to grace, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And all you'd have to do is jump over about one chapter to chapter 3, verse 7, and he told those, and particularly Titus, who had been saved by grace and justified by grace, that we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. Titus 3:7. You're defining grace consistent with the eternal security heresy, and you're assuming that everybody is walking in an ungodly manner. They have to do it. After all, eternal security teachers portray the Apostle Paul as the chief of sinners, somebody that could not do good but constantly did evil.
Hold on a second. Now, look. I agree with how you've explained grace, but I also absolutely agree with Mr. Number 448 that grace is unmerited love. I don't see any inconsistency in what he said and what you said.
And also,
well, let me show you the inconsistency, because even though God loves us, that does not mean that God won't damn a person, and you can get outside of his favor and become his enemy, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27.
Okay, well, 448, are you even disagreeing with Dan anyhow? I don't know that you are.
This is what the problem I have with Dan. If you look at King David and what King David did in the Old Testament, his sin was murder, and his sin was adultery. The adultery put him in a position to commit murder. God forgave him for that. Today, if King David did what he did, we would prosecute him. He would be guilty of treason, and he would be put to death.
All right, well, let me respond then.
Forgave the thief on the cross.
To do, I have to hang up on 448, and Dan, you've just got to hold until after this commercial break. But then, when we come back, I'll let Dan explain, and I wanted to let you have a chance to get your message out here today. More detail, more information at evangelicaloutreach.org, and when we come back, we will repeat the information on how you can get the book by Dan Corner. The book is The Believer's Conditional Security, and Dan, who needs the book? Why do they need the book? Give it a straight-up Hard Sell Commercial, and what's the phone number? How do they get the book?
This book is needed, in my opinion, by everybody, because this is a salvation-related issue. The battle today is for truth and sound doctrine regarding salvation. These people are trying to tell us something that really was the essence of the devil's first lie in Genesis 3:4, which hurt Eve as well as Adam afterwards. These people want us to think that a righteous person cannot die spiritually. The caller right before the break, he brought up David. David died spiritually, not physically, because of his adultery and murder. Ezekiel 33:18 says, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he'll die for it. David's a prime example of that. He needs to know, and all these other people need to know, there is no such thing as a Christian adulterer, no such thing as a Christian murderer, a Christian thief. Certainly the thief on a cross got forgiven, and he entered God's kingdom, but his spiritual identity changed when he repented. He asked Jesus to have mercy on him, in essence. Now, before somebody mentioned this thing about sinlessness, I'm not saying you have to be sinless. I'm saying there's different degrees of sin. Worry is a sin, but it will never damn you to hell. There's sin that leads to death and sin that does not lead to death. And folks, this is a heaven or hell issue. We're talking about eternity. It's a guarantee we're going to die. It's a guarantee you're going to stand before God. And if you're like most people, you're going to go to hell, according to Matthew 7:13-14. And if anybody out there is really not into the Scriptures, they need to change and become into the Scriptures, because one day the only thing that will matter is their relationship with God and if their soul has spiritual life in it or not. One day we're going to die and leave everything behind.
Some people yap and yap and yap and yap about their Christianity and about their religion, and yet they never even touch on the subject of repentance, but the entire message was repentance. Jesus and John Baptist before him talked about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I don't understand folks trying to dress it up that you can have religion without repentance.
And not only that, you could see in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus addressed the seven churches in Asia, and here five of the seven, he told them to repent because different things had happened after they had gotten born again. At one particular case, they had become lukewarm, and Jesus warned them that he would vomit them out of his body, out of his mouth, unless they would repent and become zealous. Another one, he told them they would have to be faithful to the point of death to avoid being hurt by the second death. The second death is another way of saying the lake of fire, according to Revelation 21:8. And in Revelation 3:11, Jesus said this to them. He said, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Jesus told Christians to hold on to what they had. They already had something. Jesus told them to hold on to it. We're being told in our day that wouldn't be grace. That would be legalism, that would be works, that would be heresy. Folks, this is a lie. You need to read the Bible and accept what it says. In James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says this, anyone who chooses to become a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. This is a significant passage as well. James 4:4, the second half, as I just stated, states that somebody can become an enemy of God by becoming a friend of this world. Now, to be an enemy of God means that raging fire is awaiting you, according to Hebrews 10:27. So, in other words, if you become an enemy of God, you were not an enemy of God prior to that. You were instead a child of God. You see, your identity would change spiritually, and we know what will happen as a consequence. And 1 Samuel 28:16 shows that King Saul is a specific example of somebody that became God's enemy.
What are we talking about when people say that they're lukewarm Christians?
Well, let me describe it this way. It would seem that perhaps a good way to describe a lukewarm so-called Christian is somebody that is sometimes hot and sometimes cold. If you had some cold water, put some hot water in it, it would become lukewarm. And Jesus told them, we're to be hot all the time, by the way. And he told them that we are, such a person would be in danger of being expelled from the body of Christ. So obviously, you're no longer in the body of Christ, and if you're not in the body of Christ, you're no longer his. You're no longer a Christian. You no longer have salvation. You're back on the road to hell. And people don't even consider that. They think that everybody has to sin all the time, and yet the Bible clearly says in Hebrews 5:9 that God gives salvation to those who obey him, but they like to under the banner of grace and under the banner that God loves us and these other fine-sounding biblical terms. They're painting a picture, just like the devil wants us to believe, that you can yield to the devil's temptation. You don't have to resist the devil and still get to heaven. They want us to think that you can go ahead and yield to his temptation and spiritual death won't come to you in spite of what James chapter 1, 14 through 16 clearly states.
Well, so after a person is saved, what happens that they then become unsaved?
Well, thank God they can repent and come back. We see Jesus' teaching of the prodigal. He strayed into wild living and time with the prostitutes. And he repented and he came back. Luke 15:24 says, "My son was dead, he's alive again." Notice, alive again. "Was lost and is found." He was lost and dead spiritually when with the prostitutes and in wild living. Now, these atonal security teachers would want us to think the prodigal remained saved. So they're saying indirectly that there are Christians that go to prostitutes. There are Christians in wild living. This is an abomination. This is what the devil wants us to think. This is not holy living. The Bible tells us a Christian is a saint, and a saint is a holy person. A person obeying Jesus, someone following Jesus. Jesus described his sheep in John 10:27 as those that continue to follow him. And according to verse 28, those are the only ones that will never perish or never get snatched out of the Father's hand. That promise there in John 10:28 does not refer to anybody that goes astray and they go back. James 5:19 and 20 clearly says you'd be back on the road to hell again. And it can happen to a really righteous person, someone truly righteous. David was righteous before he yielded to temptation, fell into adultery and murder. He died spiritually. Had he died physically, he would have went to hell. Thank God he got forgiven and came back. And the position I'm representing here is actually the position of the Apostle Paul. And they'll try to say, well, unmerited love and all this and that. And sometimes well-known preachers like Charles Stanley and other ones will use terms like that. And people aren't reading the Bible as closely as they need to, and they just accept what these established, esteemed teachers are saying. Here's what Paul said, Galatians 6, 7 through 9. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest, if we do not give up."
I don't think Mr. 448 was trying to fight with you. To say that grace is unmerited love, how is that inconsistent with everything you've had to say today? Isn't that in agreement with you?
The word grace, if you look it up in the Greek dictionary, it means favor. And you'll find out that grace comes to those that are humble. God opposes the proud. He doesn't give automatic saving grace to people that are proud or people that refuse his terms. The Lord Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Those are his conditions. To get saving grace, you got to repent, and you have to put a faith in Jesus that will commit.
I like your enthusiasm. I'm happy about your enthusiasm. I think your basic points are points that I agree with. I don't think I want to dispute you, but you seem over the board with anger. I mean, it just seems like you're over the top with anger. Are you just mad at everybody out there?
No, sir. This is called righteous anger. You could see that when the Lord Jesus went into the temple and he flipped over the tables of the money changers. These people got the platform and they're deceiving people. People are on the road to hell. They think they're on the road to heaven. They need to repent for salvation's sake.
I say to everybody that salvation is available for anyone, but it requires repentance.
It requires a faith in Jesus that will commit, one that will follow him, and one that will perform good works. We're not saved by good works, but a saving faith will have good works with it.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I want to recommend the book, and I want people to know how to get the book. One more time, the name of the book is The Believer's Conditional Security. And tell us, how do we get the book?
Our ministry website is eomin.org. The shortened URL is eomin.org. EO as in evangelical outreach, min as in ministry.org. And you can even order it online there.
Thank you very much for your time today. And I wish you well. Dan Corner, the book is The Believer's Conditional Security. And one of the websites is www.evangelicaloutreach.org. And Dan, we'll talk again down the road, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.